Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I'm going to wrap up today a reflection from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We've been looking at all week long. The church gave us that reading on this past Monday, and it's such an instructive reading from St. Paul as he's describing the nature of his daily life, almost, you know, the struggles and the trials that are part of his life as an apostle. And as he describes his experience of facing many, many hardships on a daily basis often, and really extreme ones, I hear in his voice, you know, in his experience, the echo of Jesus' words. Jesus was so clear with those that he called to himself, first the 12, the 70, and others, the nature of what it meant to follow him and what we could expect in this world. Jesus was a realist. He spoke the truth. He understood it. And he knows what this world is really like. The apostles spoke about it clearly as well. And I think sometimes as Christians, we forget that. You know, we start looking at this life like it's meant to be a taste of heaven. I mean, it's meant to be heaven on earth, that it's our home. And instead, what Jesus tells us is that this earth is really a battleground between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And there really is a kingship on this earth, a power, a dominion that is set against the Lord and against his anointed, against God the Father and his anointed Son, the rule of Jesus, the reign of Jesus, and the reign of God. Jesus came to break the back of that dominion, and he did on the cross. And that's why his message was said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus' assumption, his awareness was that every human being is in some way under the dominion of the darkness, and he came in as the light. He's the light of the world. And he came to shine light into that darkness, and he exposed that reign and the reign of the enemy and its impact on people and how it affected our minds and our ability to see clearly and often led us into habit patterns of sin and slavery and inability to know who we are, where we're going, the whole purpose of our life. So Jesus revealed it, and he spoke so clearly to say, brothers and sisters, don't expect something different in your life than the life I lived. If you want to follow me, you want to identify with me, and the more you identify with me, the more you're going to get what I got. You're going to get rejection from this world. Because the more you're like me, the more you're going to live under my reign. And the only threat to the devil and his rule on this earth and the patterns and kingdoms that he's building around the earth is the reign of Christ. And he also knows his days are numbered. And so the church and those who are conformed to Jesus are the great threat in the world. And the more you're conformed to him, the deeper the battle's going to be. And so the great thing about the apostles, and this is why it's so important for us to be able to read God's word and to allow the word to chew on it and allow the Holy Spirit to make this a living word for our own lives, so we can see that when we're up against opposition, like right now in the country, slowly, maybe some would say very quickly, drifting away in many places and in many ways, in its public life anyway, in its public expression of its meaning and what it wants to stand for, is drifting further and further away from Christ and drifting further away from the reign of God. And people are pounding their chests and declaring their autonomy from God. It's a battle they don't understand. Their minds are darkened and they think they're choosing freedom and life, but they're not. And in the midst of that, hostility toward God and then those who identify with the Lord is going to increase. So the apostles knew that was the gig that they were in. It was the pattern of life they were going to have to face as apostles. And so when it came to them, it didn't destabilize them. It didn't cause them to be discouraged. They saw it as opportunities to grow in faith. They saw that the faith they had, the gift they'd been given through grace, this gift of eternal life and sonship, daughterhood in God, the living in the reign of God, that all of this was going to be purified and purified through trial. That they understood that they needed to be purified. And purification doesn't come easy. It comes through trial and difficulty and on a daily basis being pruned and being, you know, tested in trial. And the more we surrender to the power of God in us and the Holy Spirit in the midst of trial, the more that purification happens, and the more that the gold gets purified in us, and the more we become like gold. The gold that is the Lord's life in us is the Lord himself. And so Paul clearly was describing his trials, but also the way he was responding to the trials, the beautiful and the miraculous way he was responding. And he was very clear. It wasn't because he's Superman. That, okay, that's Paul. I mean, he just had the DNA for it. He had that kind of strength. No, what he says is he boasts of his weakness, and he realizes that he's able to endure this. And endurance isn't just like begrudging, discouragement, or something. It's perseverance. It's persevering through trial with an eye on the King, with knowing the meaning of it. It's not a loss of meaning. It's not my life is just not worth much, or something has gone badly, or something has gone haywire and it's wrong, and why is this happening to me? Paul knows why it's happening to him, because the message he's bringing is a message of salvation. It's the message. It's the good news for a fallen world, and a fallen world doesn't want to hear it a lot of times. Even though deep in people's hearts, they're made for it, but they resist it. So I'm thinking again of another section in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 today of St. Paul describing even further of what he endured. Starting in verse 23, he said, "Are they servants of Christ?" He said, "I'm a better one." He's talking about people who are falsely accusing him of things. And he said, "I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman now with far greater labors, more imprisonments." He's comparing himself to false teachers who are accusing him falsely of things, right? Religious leaders and others. And he said, he's experienced far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I've received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. It was done by the Jewish synagogue officials, excuse me. The Jewish synagogue officials would do it. They didn't do all 40 lashes is what the Old Testament called for, but they didn't want to go all the way to the extreme, so they'd stop at 39. 5 times I've received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I have been beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I have been shipwrecked. 1 night and a day I have been adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger of rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brethren, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure upon me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? This list of trials in St. Paul, it's just mind-boggling what he lived through. And he didn't complain. He didn't say, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for this. This just isn't fair. Where's my piece of the pie, of the excitement and the fun and the comfort and the acquisition of many things and recognition in this world? Remember what he said at one point, that he used to value things in his life the way the world valued things. He thought he was great because of his bloodlines, because of his achievements, because essentially the trophies that he'd acquired around himself through his hard work and the rest of it. And then he said, well, whatever gain I had, I used to be able to boast in these things. Now I count as loss for the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Paul was a rich man. Paul was a totally blessed man. And how could he get there? How could he measure his life that way? It was just like, well, he had set his own personal goals and he was following his own bliss and, you know, he was just so happy to be such a high achiever, you know, toward his goals. No, he understood who he was, and he understood what Christ had done in him and the great treasure that set before him. He had an eternal perspective, first of all, both the eternal perspective of the kingdom of God, and he lived with it on a daily basis. Such an important thing for us as believers. It's part of having a renewed mind, of understanding the limits and the limitations and the reality of this world, and to know that this is not my home, I'm a pilgrim. I'm here for a very short time. I was made by God. I'm made for God. And in this time, I'm meant to live radically for God. When you have an eternal perspective, you understand that the definition of greatness is not rewards in this world, but it's rewards that you receive in the kingdom of heaven. First of all, it's the King himself and living with him in heaven forever. That's our ultimate destiny. That's the goal. That's where you win the crown. That's the crown that lasts forever. And Paul realized that for a time in his life, he kept seeking crowns that fade, that were actually below, weren't enough, that he was made for much more than that. He was made for eternal greatness, to live with God forever. And so he said, when he saw it, and how did he see it? He saw it in Jesus. He saw it in Christ risen and glorified, appeared to him on the road to Damascus. He understood the magnitude of who Jesus is, and that greatness and wisdom is found in aligning oneself with the King, with Jesus, whom all power and authority in heaven and earth has been given. And the most sane way to live is to radically follow in Jesus' footsteps, to live a life of radical obedience and love of God first and love of neighbor as Jesus defines it, not as anybody else defines it, but as Jesus defines it, and to live in full imitation of him, because everybody else's opinion, friends, is going to be silenced before it's all over. In the end, there's one opinion that matters. That's God. That's Christ. He's the one who really knows what it's all about, why we're all here, where we're all going. He knows about God's purpose and plan, his Father's plan and the judgment. So how did he get that? How did he become such a rich man? How did he get that perspective? By seeing Christ, by knowing Jesus. And so this is why he prays. And I want to just end the program today and this week with Paul's beautiful prayer to make it our prayer from Ephesians chapter 1. He said this, verse 15, "For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints." So friends, here it is. He's saying, because I've heard you're living the first commandment, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you're loving your neighbor. He's encouraging that. He's saying, that's the right direction. He said, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him." Lord, I pray for all of us today and all who are listening, give us that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. He goes on to say, "having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which you have been called, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe, according to the working of his great might, which he accomplished in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and made him sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Paul prays that that vision of reality would consume our mind, our imagination, our hearts. And when that happens, friend, we possess everything and we can live just like Paul. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks very candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. It's an inspiring booklet I think you will be encouraged and strengthened by. If you'd like it, you could call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE, or you can subscribe to our podcast.